Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. As you turn there, our big idea this morning for our special service, thinking and reflecting, celebrating the goodness of Jesus in our day-to-day lives. The big idea this morning is just one simple thought. You cannot stop shouting when you have something to shout about. Now, I bring that up because I have heard over the last few days, there's been a lot of talk about how to get along with your loved ones. Would you gather together this year for a Thanksgiving meal? There's a lot of people that won't be traveling to celebrate with their families because of the way they voted in a recent election. It's not worth the conflict. Let's just stay apart because we don't like and we don't get along with one another. And it's just another day to be at odds with one another. And I thought to myself as I heard that, that's terrible. Let something like politics divide us. But that's what politics tends to do, is divide us. We look back over the past year and we see from the recent election how nothing really has changed along the landscape here in America. Seemed to be a divided country. And it's been that way, it seems to be, for a really long time. And it's that division that really plays into this morning's message in the history of Thanksgiving. Our message this morning is something to shout about. I know at your family gathering, it's probably austere and very proper, very formal. You don't have any shouting about, pass the mashed potatoes, or give me more green beans. Say mashed potatoes and green beans. Do you have those at your meal? You eat all of that? Do you prepare a disproportional amount of food for your particular meal that day? Do you eat it all in one setting? Aren't you glad this morning that the food that we will eat on this Thursday is food that we will probably only eat one time a year? Is there anybody who makes a habit of eating turkey more than once a year? Some people say, yeah, I eat it. Some people say, no, I don't eat it. Can you consider how fortunate we are that our Thanksgiving meal, perhaps, is turkey rather than just whatever you could scrounge up or round up out in your yard? I have heard of people who ate whatever was available, whether it was a squirrel or a possum or whatever they could find, rabbits. Does that change the meal, the type of meat that you have? All right, let's just find out how divided we are this morning. Anybody in here planning to eat turkey? Could I see a show of hands to see how traditional you are? Anybody eating ham for Thanksgiving instead? Or in addition, okay. Anybody having something non-traditional like pizza for Thanksgiving? Okay, yeah. Yesterday, we had an impromptu gathering of some of my brothers and sisters. We were able to get together as I was heading back to North Carolina. And our Thanksgiving meal was a hamburger. We gathered at a hamburger place. And I think to myself that probably, and when you look back at what's going to be on people's Thanksgiving tables, it's not that far removed from what it is or what it was all those years back. It just had to be what was available. Is it important to have those traditional foods every year? And I guess something in the spirit of the families who've moved on and have new traditions, who will go maybe and pick up a McDonald's Happy Meal or a hamburger. Maybe there is turkey in that hamburger. We don't know exactly what is in that meal that they'll be having. But I will say that I'm grateful at least for our traditions that have played out, that we have those particular types of food. And as a matter of fact, the foods that we eat for Thanksgiving do have a very special place, a very special point of intersect, the meals that we will celebrate with this week, the foods that we have, traditional American Thanksgiving, all come from a similar place, all come from a similar menu. I'd like to take a few moments just to tell you where it all began. For the last several years, our leaders, our presidents, have been making Thanksgiving declarations, and they'll reference the date of 1621. That's associated with that first Thanksgiving up in Massachusetts, where you had the what we would call the Pilgrims and the Indians. As I was raised, we call them Native Americans nowadays. They weren't from India. They were, and I'm sure there will be Indian Americans celebrating Thanksgiving this year, just as there would be Native Americans celebrating this year. But the history of it is a difficult day to pin down, because when you look back at what happened at that moment, as the what's often referenced as the earliest date, it actually predates that. There were Spanish sailors that when they arrived off the coast of Florida, when they got off of that ship, they had a feast, a special Thanksgiving meal, because they were so grateful to finally be off that boat and be on solid ground. In Virginia, before 1621, as boats would make their way across the Atlantic, it would be very common for the captain to write in his journals about a Thanksgiving celebration. Wouldn't necessarily be in November, just what happened to be when they arrived. And they were grateful, hey, just to finally be off that boat. And yet we look to that meal. You know the story that Charlie Brown taught us. They had peanut butter and popcorn. No, that's not what they had. They had the traditional Thanksgiving food. And we liken that to that first recognized event there at Plymouth Rock. But what if I were to tell you that as far as Thanksgiving being an American tradition, we can give George Washington some credit for that. In 1789, George Washington makes a declaration over the very, very young America, these United States of America, the colonies that had successfully defeated the British in the birth of an infant nation. It was our first leader, George Washington, who wrote of November 26, 1789, to be a day where we unite in most humbly offering our prayers and our supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions. That was George Washington. That was on the occasion of the first American Thanksgiving, as far as the United States of America was concerned. Do you see anything in there about feasting or celebrating? You know, in honesty, as we look back at the events, there was a power struggle as to what Thanksgiving would be. You see, the Puritan influence, Puritans wanted the day to be like George Washington declared. It would come much earlier in the year, but it would be a day of mourning, a day of prayer, a day of asking for forgiveness for our transgressions. It was a day that would be marked as a day of fasting. Aren't you glad the Puritans didn't win that war? No, it became associated with the celebration and the feast by, well, probably the most unlikely of sources that you may not have ever heard the story of why it is that we celebrate Thanksgiving on the last Thursday of the month of November. And it all has to do with a little lamb. You've heard that nursery rhyme, Mary had a little lamb, little lamb, little lamb, Mary had a little lamb. I don't remember it. It was white as snow, yeah. We have that nursery rhyme actually was the creation of this lady here, Sarah Hale, born in 1788. Sarah would grow on to be the mother of five children. She'd lose her husband at the age of 34. He had caught pneumonia traveling home on the North New England roads one winter, and he died. As a result, Sarah Hale dressed in black for the rest of her days, marking her widowhood. She thinks and tries to make a living for her family. She starts, of all things, a women's magazine. It would be writings for women to give them creative ideas of how to make repairs. It would just be a reading material for women. She's the attributed author of that poem, Mary Had a Little Lamb. And Sarah had a deep reverence for Thanksgiving. As a matter of fact, 5 sitting U.S. presidents would receive each year letters from Sarah Hill asking for a declaration, like George Washington had done, to establish and to fix a national day where everyone across the country would have that same day set aside. I want to go back to George Washington. It was his 1789 proclamation that didn't set well in the southern states of South Carolina. No one wanted the federal government telling us what to do and when to do it. And the spirit of Thanksgiving might not have found a national day, though it would have been celebrated predominantly up north, though the practice and the spirit of the holiday is very much of the fabric of our southern heritage. It would be Sarah that would help bring it down here to the south during the most divisive of times in our history as a nation. In the 1863 letter that Sarah wrote to then Abraham Lincoln, the letter finally found an ear where Abraham Lincoln sets forth a declaration, a proclamation, to describe a national day of Thanksgiving where the Union would gather to reflect, to show gratefulness. It was to be a day where healing could begin at a time in the most divisive time in our nation as a people. You can imagine how well it went over. The Union declaring a national day of Thanksgiving, especially when it's embroiled in a bitter war with the Confederate States in the South. But Sarah's letter finally makes it to the president's desk. It's read, it's acknowledged, and Abraham Lincoln puts it in his proclamation that we would have this day of Thanksgiving. Sarah also is the one in her ladies' magazine would write about the types of foods that she would serve. We find that her Thanksgiving menu is a lot like our Thanksgiving. The turkey, the dressing, all of the vegetables, all of the feasting that goes on. Sarah had a hand in that. And if you probably didn't do the math, it was a 75-year-old Sarah Hill that would eventually grab the president's ear, and she would see something happen year after year after year throughout the remainder of her days. She died late in her 90s, that she would see a nation come together on a national day of Thanksgiving. You know, we've got a reason to give thanks. What's the reason that we give thanks for? Is it because of we have all of the food that we have? We think about the spirit of Thanksgiving and we think about the day that's coming up this week. Is it really the day that we have, that we set aside, that we are just going through the motions, that we're doing what was done, whether it was 1621, where you had the two groups, the pilgrims and the natives coming together and sharing a meal? Do we gather for that special reenactment? I think that's rooted in the origins of Thanksgiving, but I think Thanksgiving today is much greater and much more personal for each and every one of us. It's a day where we sit back and we reflect about God's goodness. When we reflect about God's goodness, it should bring us to that place that George Washington described, where we find ourselves praying and petitioning that God would heal us and forgive us of our transgressions. And it's also a day of feasting and a sweet time together. It may be a difficult year for you this year. You may not have as big of a Thanksgiving meal because you can't afford it. It may not be as big of a Thanksgiving gathering because of, well, people just aren't able to come to your gathering. But it does not any less change the work that you and I must do in our hearts. While it's collective gathering celebration, It's individual in what we accomplish in the spirit of thanksgiving. For that, I'd like to go to Psalm 100, which is known as the Psalm of Thanksgiving. As David declares in Psalm 100, verse 1, he says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." We often attribute the making a joyful noise to singing. And I think that when you think about the heritage of singers that we have heard over the years, it's kind of humbling to know that I don't have that gift. I don't have that apparatus. I don't have that ability to sing out. And really, in the more along the spirit of the original language, the joyful noise isn't so much about singing as it is about shouting. Oh, we can do that. Oh, no doubt there's going to be a lot of shouting as people are watching football. That's a great family activity, but that's not the spirit of Thanksgiving. David says in verse 1, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." It's the spirit of Thanksgiving that we find in this psalm. A little bit about the Thanksgiving offering or the Thanksgiving observance that the children of Israel were to follow. There was a special peace offering that they would bring before the Lord. This Thanksgiving offering would be a special time for someone to come forth and make a sacrifice before the Lord because of a surprise turn of events. That something got better. It wasn't the anticipated expectation. And it's just a way to say, "God, didn't see this coming. I find myself incredibly blessed, and I just want to make this sacrifice to you to say thank you for the change in my circumstance." We think about the change in our circumstance for the better as a reason to give thanks. But what if your circumstance were to shift and turn? Can you still give thanks then? What if we find ourselves like it was during Sarah Hale writing to Abraham Lincoln in 1863, when the nation was embroiled in conflict, and it was brother against brother in the war between the states, in the South, as we call it, the War of the Northern Aggression. How, in a divisive time, it was possible to have a day set aside where you could say thank you to God, and everything wasn't great. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And I think whenever you and I survey who God is and who we are, there is a great gladness and a richness that comes to us when we realize, hey, he is holy and I am not. As we just sang a few moments ago, holy, 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 the thrice holy God. It should move us and motivate us to say, God, I am not who you are. I am not like you. And I so longly to desire to have your forgiveness. Forgive me, God. And that's a reason to celebrate and a reason to sing that we have been forgiven, especially as followers of Jesus in Christ. We have been forgiven and we have been set free. So serve the Lord with gladness. I hope that's the spirit of the occasion for your holiday that's coming up on Thursday. But I want to stop and just say, you know, Thanksgiving is something that lasts more than just once a year. Verse 3, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are the people and the sheep of his pasture." Jesus had a little lamb. It's you and it's me. We have a reason to celebrate, to sing, to shout that the Lord is God. He's our creator. This is not the product of everything that we are, that our focus and that our attention should be on he and he alone. This is the spirit of worship. Worship should be connected with our thanksgiving. It's not just about a meal, even though sometimes we distill it down to that's just the day. I've got to cook hard and provide for my loved ones, and so that when they get gone, I can say, don't have to worry about that for another year. But think about how transformative it is to realize that we are the people of God and the sheep of his pasture. For the Israelite, who sings out on Psalm 100, oh, to think about all of God's blessings should bring us to that place of humility where we do ask for his forgiveness, find relief in him. But it's an opportunity for us to worship. We come to verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. We say grace at our Thanksgiving meals. Or at least that's a great time to come together with family members that don't all say grace. You know who those people are because they just, it's before the amen, they dig in. And how many people on Thursday are going to be bowing their heads with their cheeks full as maybe you lead in prayer to bless the name of the one who provided for you? Because in verse 5, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Do you see any division in Psalm 100? You don't see the division other than the otherness of God, the holiness of God, the separateness of God, and the sheepness of his people. Because Psalm 100 doesn't focus on the sheep so much as it does realize the blessings that we have received. But it's rather a declaration, an exaltation of the God who is good, who is merciful, it's more, and he's everlasting. And that it transcends not just your lifetime, but it's for all time. And I say that as a reason that I think that Thanksgiving is a great national holiday. It's a great day where we pause, though I understand that the spirit of Thanksgiving, where we thank our God for the journey that we have been on this past year, is sadly going to be missed by a lot of people because there's a lot of people who are not going to acknowledge him, that he is good, that he is merciful, that he is truth. That's why you don't stop shouting, because the end of the day. I know that Thanksgiving several years ago became the placeholder before Black Friday. You had to give your loved ones, your family, some nourishment to bolster them up to go stand and wait for the stores to open, to be able to get those doorbusters that people were going to fight over. It was the kickoff of the holiday shopping season. And sometimes Thanksgiving gets lost in the mix of all the other traditions that we do, whether it's the types of foods that we have, who's coming to dinner, who's not coming to dinner. And I want to remind you that in the true spirit of Thanksgiving, it's bigger than a day. And the mandate and the opportunity for us as his people, his sheep, do we have an opportunity to keep shouting out who he is, our good, our great, our merciful God. And the reason that we're going to look now as an application is how Paul uses the spirit of Thanksgiving to help bring healing to a divided church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to find a church that Paul's going to be writing. He writes two letters to the church that was not perfect, but rather divided. The division inside the church that you find as you read through the first few verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is everybody's following somebody in the church. People rally behind a person, a leader. They feel like they're more holy than someone else because of who they follow and who they identify as a follower of. As you read on in verse 11 and see where the names start to flow in, is who the people have rallied behind and put their support behind, you realize that there's something bigger going on in this church than just people who are in different Sunday school classrooms, or they have different leaders in the church that they recognize. Everyone in the church has a self-exaltation problem. Paul has to address their misuse of spiritual gifts. Everybody wants to exalt and promote themselves. And this is a church that's unhealthy. It's divided because everyone's looking at themselves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, Paul writes, I thank my God always for on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. There's the gifting. That everything that you have, all of your spiritual gifts that you have in the church, they are, well, verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. You've been set apart, you've been changed, you've been forgiven. You understand who Jesus is. You're a church that wants to manifest the spiritual gifts. But we find in verse 7, so that ye, when you come behind it in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it had become about something more than just looking and anticipating the Savior who's coming, but an opportunity to be a star that shines. Look at me. Paul calls this church to remember. Thank God for what you have. Thank God for what he's given to you. Thank you, God, for giving the assurance, the confirmation that we're your people. But may we be the people that are eagerly waiting for your coming, because we do believe you're coming back, and you're coming back real soon. Verse 8, because he's the one who shall also confirm you until the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Moment by moment, we focus on just whatever is at hand. We will focus on how great we are, or actually maybe that's the main motivator of why we do and how we do things. Hey, look at me. Look how great I am. Look at all of the skills, all of the talents, all of the abilities, all of the gifts that I have. And it was going to have a group full of people who were full of themselves and their heads. They were going to miss out and need to be corrected by Paul as to what they really need to be focusing on, what they really need to be doing, and getting everything in perspective. It's not that he's saying he's going to be advocating for eliminating their gifting. He's advocating, hey, let's remember what it's about and who it's for. It's not about your self-exaltation, your self-promotion. It's about Jesus, who's the center of thanksgiving. Look with me at verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's good. He's faithful. And as followers of Jesus, do you know what unites us? It's not that we dress alike or we have the same preference for holiday foods. It's not that we were born in the same era. It's Jesus. He's what brings the church together. He's what heals the church. Paul is appealing to this group of believers to, hey, make your focus not be on yourselves, but Jesus. And he's doing it in this spirit of thanksgiving here. He's reminding the church of just how faithful God is. Isn't that what the day that's coming up this week should really be about? How faithful God is? How he's brought us through this journey over this past year? Where we were or are today from where we were last year? And I think when we take an honest appraisal, sometimes it's not as good this year as it was last year. Maybe life has taken a different turn or different direction. Maybe you're lacking a little more this year. Should you no less thank God who is faithful because your circumstance isn't as blessed as it was in the year prior? You see, thanksgiving transcends our bank account, our health balance. It outweighs our prosperity. It's attributing to our Creator, to our Lord, our Shepherd who looks after us and provides for us. He's faithful. And I think that's something that I appreciate about the National Day of Thanksgiving that we'll have this week, is that it should be a reminder to Christians that God is good all the time. And that as his followers, we serve the one who is faithful. Do you find something to be thankful about? Do you find something to shout about? We have the God who is faithful. Which leads us now to the application of that section. Is Paul's going to start in verse 10, just right out on the get-go. He starts to address the problem in the church. Look with me at verse 10. "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Paul's going to go on to write about the church that's divided, who they follow after, and Paul's talking about the ones who are talking, people are rallying behind the one who baptized them. Paul weighing in and sharing his feelings on it. Listen, it's great to stand behind a person. I think sometimes we rally behind a man of God. I think sometimes we follow a man of God so blindly that we don't see the faults and the failures of the man of God. Man of God being the man who stands in the pulpit. And when that man falls, we too stumble. Because we put all of our faith in, well, look, he said this, and yet he's fallen. He's a hypocrite. I'm throwing up my hands, I'm walking away. You see, when we put our eyes and our focus on a person, we tend to find ourselves in a faith crisis when things fall apart. This year, past year, as I look back in the national megachurch pastors that have had scandals about them, it breaks my heart to hear about so many churches that are going through trouble right now because of fallen human men who, in a sense, have been deified by their congregations. When things were made aware that behind the scenes things weren't right, that it brought their church to a great place of difficulty. And that will happen when difficulty comes in a church, because conflict, because of problems, controversy has a way of really just dampening our spirits. But when our eyes are on Jesus and our focus is on Him alone, it helps us to weather the storms. It helps us to make it through the harvest of the year. And while it may not be as big as it was last year, we think to ourselves, thank you, Jesus, for what you did give to me. Thank you, Jesus, for where you have brought me. But I want to tell you this morning that Jesus is about so much more than just putting food on our table or giving us a warm place to live. As Americans, we live in a very blessed time in the history of this world. Even the poorest among us, even our homeless, as contradictory as it seems, our homeless people have access to far more than any other group of humans throughout human history. In these United States of America, we are tremendously blessed financially. We're tremendously blessed with the abundance of food. It may not always be great food, but we have so much around us. It costs us more, but we have something to thank God about other than just the provision of a shirt on our back or a piece of bread on our table. It is the gift of His Son, Jesus. And that's what Thanksgiving is about. It needs to be centered on Jesus. Centered on the one who took your place and took my place. You see, as a follower of Jesus, we should never ever grow tired, or we should never ever grow too familiar to the point that we think, oh, is he talking about that again, that gospel? God forbid that we would ever get to that place where we would not be a thankful, grateful people for the provision of God's perfect Lamb, His Son Jesus, who took our place on the cross of Calvary, who died for us, who was buried and rose again the third day, and that through simple believing, trusting in Him, turning from your sin to the Savior, asking Him to save you, you have your sins forgiven and you realize what it really means to be free and what it really means to be blessed. I think if there's anything to be said of this past year, regardless of the way the days have fallen, whether the times are up or the times are down, we have an opportunity to thank Jesus for each and every day that we were able to witness the manifest power of Jesus in our lives. What's he done for you this year? You've got something to shout about. What's he going to do for you tomorrow? You've got something to shout about. The spirit of Thanksgiving isn't just about stuffing our face, but rather lifting up our voices and saying thank you to the Creator. Thank you to the God who is good, who is faithful, who is merciful. I think when we grab a hold of that, Thanksgiving becomes so much more than just a moment, a day that we pencil it on our calendar where we get together. So your family can't gather together this Thursday. I hope your family can find a day where it can come together. I know, at least in my family, it seems to be that life's moving in so many different directions. It's just hard to bring everybody together at the same time. This past week for me was a surprise. I was not expecting, wasn't even thinking about going back to Texas to see an uncle who was suffering from the effects of a stroke. I'm grateful for the opportunity to go and just sit with him and hold his hand. Though I won't be able to be with him on Thursday. I won't be able to be with my family in Texas on Thursday. I'll be here celebrating with my family here. This Wednesday night, I'll be celebrating with you. It's not just about eating. It's about praising. It's about saying thank you. So it's got to be bigger than a moment. It's got to be bigger than just a day. You see, that's what Sarah Hell was advocating for. Not so much that Thanksgiving wasn't taking place in America. It's that she wanted to have, okay, let's just all get together and on the same day do the same thing. Let's all be grateful this one day, the last Thursday in November. It's after writing all these letters, 15, 16, 17 years of writing letters to sitting presidents before she'd see some results. Was it Sarah Hell's, the one that we credit with Thanksgiving? Have you ever heard her name before today? Well, I know Mary Had a Little Lamb. It's the power of what one person can do. Even at 75 years old, she helped shape future generations. You know, the Thanksgiving after that year, it became easier for our president, sitting presidents, to agree upon that date and make that declaration. It wouldn't be until we get to the 30s that it would actually become a national holiday. Up to that point, it was a proclamation that the president would issue. Franklin Roosevelt is the one who set it into a day, national holiday. And that was in question because America had just come through a Great Depression. It was going to be right at the start of a time of war. 1939, I believe, that this declaration would be made, that as Americans we would have a national holiday across the country. Wouldn't just be a presidential proclamation. Now it's going to be on the calendar every year, set in stone in perpetuity. In 1972, something started happening up north. You probably have heard of this. It's not a celebration. You'll often turn on the television, hear a news reporter, you'll hear about what Thanksgiving represents, are the worst of America and what happened to the blight of a people. And up until 1972, there was a lot of feasting, and then there starts to be a talk of a national day of shame that a lot of people won't be celebrating in the sense that you and I celebrate, because they're looking at a historical event when we look at the God of history. I gather with my family. I gather with my loved ones. I gather with you because I want to lift up the name of Jesus. We gather here today because we want to lift up the name of Jesus. It's more than just today. As a matter of fact, the spirit of Thanksgiving occurs every time we come together as the sheep who comes to sing about the great shepherd. So yeah, it's more than a moment, it's more than a day, it's more than a gathering. God forbid that you're not able to be with us the next time we gather, or God forbid that you're not with us next year at this time. Thanksgiving and praising is something that goes on throughout the generations. And that's our focus, and that's our mission, and that's what we need to remember. It's a day bigger than you. It's a day bigger than me. It's a day bigger than all of the problems of the world. It's a day that can never be greater than our God, because it's a day that should be about our God. So while a church in Corinthians finds itself in division, who are narcissistic and self-promoting, Paul calls them to remember who it is that made the difference, that called them to save him, that he's coming again. And you and I have a lot of hope. Even though times may not always be easy and our health may not always be up, we have a reason to be thankful and a reason to celebrate. And that's our great shepherd, Jesus. We're his people, his sheep. So next time you gather with your family and some shouting breaks out, maybe it's around a football game. That's okay. Maybe there is some kind of conflict that rises up. That's sad. Whatever happens in the day, may it not wash out or drown out the reason that we gather: Jesus. Our idea this morning is you cannot stop shouting when you have something to shout about. In the series we've looked at, the ones who reject Jesus are the ones who stumble. How much more you're missing out of if Thanksgiving's just an opportunity to eat cranberry sauce. It's about more than just the meal that we share or even the people that we gather. It's about the God who has provided and brought us to this place. It's an opportunity for us to remember the importance of worshiping every day. Thanksgiving is bigger than Thursday. Thanksgiving is a everyday place in our life. But it only becomes that when we pause to reflect on what God has done for us and where he has brought us. So don't ever get tired, or don't ever get to the place where you think, I'll do that later. Lift up his name right here and right now. As we, as God's people, come together, would you say today the response, the prayer that I ask you to join me in praying this morning as the close of our service? We come together as God's people and we say, Lord, thank you.